the first room down the hallway. Please come in and get connected. You do have connection cards in the seat in front of you. If you are a guest, please fill those out. We have started something new. We have a couple of local charities that we are allowing you to contribute to if you fill out that card. Something brand new we're doing. And if you bring it to the... Pastor is not understanding what I'm saying. We are going to give on your behalf to those local charities. You get to just mark which one you want us to give to for you. So there. Do you understand better, Pastor Spencer? Awesome. And if you bring it to our connection room, we have a gift for you. We would love to just connect with you, let you know what's going on, and say hello and greet you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And our live stream family, thank you so much for getting on and worshiping with us this morning. We love you so much, and we're glad to have you here. Listen, Pastor Spencer and I have written books, and man, this anointing of book writing has flown from the head down, because we have several people that have written books in the church. We'll start with Teresa Snowman, our children's teacher. I don't even know how long she's been here teaching, a long time. She's written Adventures of Nancy the Giraffe and Friends. One of them, there's like three books in one. Nancy the Giraffe Finds Her Purpose, Jimmy the Turtle Conquers Fear, and Lucy the Goose Learns to Listen. So that's a fantastic book. You can get it on Amazon or at the book table out front. And then Kayla Keegan, stand up, Kayla. Woo! She's written a 31-day devotional for children. We have a girl's copy and boy's copy. If you'd like to do that, they're on Amazon. You can get those and order them. I don't think we have any at the table yet. We will get some, but they are available on Amazon. That's a great thing for your children. Not only is there a devotion, but there's a spot for them to take notes and live it out. And last but not least, Pastor Patricia has written a 365-day devotional called Faith Jewels, and they are available back at the book table and on Amazon. So we have a lot of people that have written fabulous books, so get your hands on them. They will bless you. All right, what do we have going on? Oh, we have Harvest Fest getting ready to come up. We love in this house to do better than the world does. I want, when children come to God's house, for it to be a way better experience than anything they would ever experience in the world, because that's our God and that's who we serve. So this takes a ton of candy, and that's where we need you. We need over 120,000 pieces of candy for this event. So that means I need you, Pastor Aaron needs you, to go out and buy bags of candy. Preferably not hard candy. If you could stay away from any kind of hard candy, that's just my personal preference. I don't like giving children hard candy. So soft candies. Bring bags of candy in so that we can be a blessing to our community this year. Last year, I remember them saying, literally, this is too much candy. No more. You got to stop. It's too much. And that's awesome. That's what we want to do. So get out, buy candy in the next few weeks, every week if you want, and bring it in, because we need a ton of candy. And then we have groups. How many of you have participated with groups? Awesome. We have a few that have not. If you have not yet joined and participated with a group, make sure you go to the information table out front. They will get you connected with a group. You do not have to do life alone. We in this house believe that we are a community, we are a family of God, and we do life together. So make sure you sign up for a group. There's something for everyone. Amen. Pastor, will you open us up in prayer this morning?
Some more great news. We got our LLC for the Heights Theater. So hopefully we should start showing movies at the Heights Theater by Christmas. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just want to say how much we love you. We thank you. You are so good to us. And today, Jesus, we ask that you will fill this room. That God, your presence will become so powerful that people's lives will be changed for absolutely ever. an encounter with you that we cannot deny. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll fill the room with the power of God. Fill the room with that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Show your love to people, God, that we will always know that you are good and not bad. So, Lord, as we worship you, we abandon ourselves. We put aside our troubles. We put aside our thoughts. And we focus our hearts and minds completely on you and declare that you deserve all the worship. We will worship you in spirit and in truth for the glory of God. And as the word is preached, penetrate our heart. Change us forward that we will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We're also going to remind you, this is Water Baptism Sunday, so we water baptize right over on this side. So if you're wondering what's going on, we'll be laying hands on, water baptizing, seeing God do supernatural work in their lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
you can come up towards the altar if you're ready to praise and worship this morning. breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath
in our lungs.
In our lungs.
So we pour
so
it out.
We pour out our praise. Yeah.
Say it's your breath in our lungs.
So we pour out.
Life.
You give life.
just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Sing, I can't wait for eternity. Join the song, they're already singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And just to bow down before your throne.
See your face,
I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you.
Forever.
Never want to get so comfortable that we forget that we are honored to be in the presence of the King. And today we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Somebody's having a problem with their carotid arteries. They're clogged, concerned. But in the name of Jesus, I release right now, any kind of clot will not happen. I declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the blockages will be released in Jesus' name, and that God, there'll be perfect health for the glory of God. I speak to all the arteries in that body, and I command them all to be cleansed and healthy and whole in Jesus' name. Somebody's having a problem on the left side of your face. It goes from the bottom of your nose, up your cheek bone, up towards your eye in Jesus' name. I release healing right now in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to stop. But even more than that, God, I speak to the cause and I curse you in Jesus' name. And I command health to come to that portion of the body for the glory of God. Someone's dealing with carpal tunnel on the right hand, down. You're feeling it more in your pinky, on the bottom part of your wrist. God is releasing that right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you care not only about the big things in our life, but the small things in our life. So, Lord, today we give you honor and praise. For you are a good God. You know, this last week I've been just overwhelmed with watching YouTubes. Yes, I'm a YouTuber. Watching YouTubes on people that have died and come back. What's been amazing is all the ones I've watched, there's one thing that is always the same in all of them, and it's this. That once they get into the presence of the Lord, they're overwhelmed with the love of God. Talking so much, they don't want to leave. Do I have to go back? I don't want to go back. You know, I thank God for the love that we have here on this planet. But God's got so much love for you and I that we need to understand the height, the breadth, and the width of the love of the Lord. And, you know, I've been, I don't know about you, but after I watched all those, I just got a little jealous. And I said, God, I thank you that they experienced that there. But I want that here. God, I need a greater understanding of how much you love me. I need a greater understanding of how much you care for me. You know, sometimes we doubt the love of God because we doubt ourselves. How many of you know how messed up you are? Amen. And because of that, it's easy to disengage God's love from our life because we know how messed up we are. But I got great news for you. Jesus loves you. Even in your mess. Amen. Jesus will never give up on you. He cares for you, but he doesn't just care for you. He loves you. And God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will flood us with a revelation of what real love is. God, I know it can't be man created. I know it can't be just man and woman love. It can't be natural love, God. It's your love. So we ask that you'll reveal these things to us. We need to know you more. And God, we need to know how much you love us. So Holy Spirit, we give you freedom in our life. We give you freedom to reveal to us. We give you freedom to open up our eyes and understanding of our spirit man, that we can truly grasp how much you love us. God, I know even praying that, I feel like I'm not even able to pray it right. Because, Lord, I need more understanding myself. So please, Jesus, reveal you to us. That just like they were when they reached into heaven, they were overwhelmed with your love for them. Jesus, we want to be overwhelmed with your love for us. And we don't just want it, we need it. Jesus, overwhelm us, we pray. God, any service you want to just take over, you're more than welcome. God, anytime you just want to wipe us all out, Lord Jesus, and just fill us with your love so we're all just stammering. We don't even know words in English to say. Jesus, we will always yield to you because we are your church. We are your body. We are your family. And if we've ever needed you before, Jesus, it's right now. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have not I said in my word that I love you? Have not I sent my son to prove that I love you? My heart is after you as you cannot even grasp or understand. And as your spirit reaches out to me, I will flood with you. I will literally flood inside of you a love that cannot be concurred by man. And as you see me, you will see me. But as you behold me, I will behold you. And I will saturate you with a love that people are desperate after. And through the love I have in you, I will draw others to myself. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. We honor you this morning, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy Lord. There is none like you. More Holy Spirit. Please. We want more. 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 Stronger, Holy Ghost, please. We want a stronger anointing in this room right now. We want God's presence to be so felt, so tangible, so powerful. We want you, Jesus. Please, more. I remind you what you did in the old covenant, Christ. Your presence was so strong, the priest couldn't even stand. We ask for that tangible, that cloud of glory that we will have to say we've been in the house in the presence of God. More. More, Jesus. Come on, start talking to him now. Ask him for more. Ask him for more in your life. We need more, Jesus. More, Jesus. More. God, hear your people. Hear your people. You said those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. More, 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 God. Hallelujah. More, Holy Spirit. Oh, release your glory, release your glory, release the glory, release the glory. More of Jesus, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. More of Jesus, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. God is healing someone's left foot right now on the outside, the first and second toe, baby toe, and next. In the name of Jesus, I release healing right now by the power of God. More, more, God, more, more, God, more, God. I speak to the nervous system. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Temperate, I speak you right now into the body. Hallelujah. Jesus, we want more. We want more. We want more. More, God. More, God. More, God. Jesus. rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of your belly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was watching a cowboy movie last night. I like cowboy movies. And this guy and this girl, they got on a horse and they're riding out to, oh, I forget what town that was. Famous town. And they kind of made the guy at the stables mad. So they needed a drink of water. They pulled out the canteen and the guy had poured vinegar in it. They poured it out on the ground. They weren't happy. But then they got further in the desert and they started getting parched to where you could see it in their face. And not only were they covered with dirt, but you could see that they were dying without the water. We need fresh water from Jesus this morning. The Bible says, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee. When was the last time you were so hungry for Jesus? You needed a drink of water from Christ. You needed freshness from the Holy Ghost that you're unwilling to satisfy for anything but. You see, God waits for us because he's got good stuff and he loves us desperately. But he'll never pour the water down your throat and he'll never give you vinegar. He'll only give what will refresh you. But that means you gotta take the drink. Some of you are not sure how. How do I get more of the presence of the Lord? You go just like this. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but there's one thing I do know. I need more of you. Refresh me, God. Give me more of your presence. Lord, as you hear your people pray that this week, whether they be in the car, whether they be in their bed, whether they be in the kitchen, whether they be sitting in the armchair, God, even while they might be at their cubicle at work, I pray in the name of Jesus that the very presence of heaven will descend on them. There's the anointing right here. More God. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, there are even people in the room today who have never been in your presence, maybe never felt your literal presence. Holy Ghost, come on them now, that they'll not be able to say they weren't in the presence of God himself. For you are a good God and greatly to be praised. For those watching by live stream, just as Jesus spoke over the paralyzed servant, and the words pass through time and space, I release the anointing right now into your house. I release the anointing into your workplace. I release the anointing into that home. I release the anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Release your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Sing to him, sing to him, to him.
Jesus, majesty. Jesus, yeah. Jesus, King.
You are worthy.
With
our hands lifted up, we honor you.
Jesus, majesty.
Hallelujah! We need you, Jesus. We need you. We need you, Jesus. Let us all stand back individually and just stand in awe of who you are. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Jesus. God, we need it more than just on a Sunday morning. I pray that you'll fill our tank every morning when we get up and we start talking to you. A fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, as promised in Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God, bring us to that place of revival, that place of renewal. That place, Jesus, that we were when we first got saved, that power, that energy, that excitement of being in your presence. Rekindle our hearts, God. Rekindle our hearts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you. I like the presence of God. Here's my problem is I can do this all day. Just stand here and worship all day long. Because for me, you know, you're going to go home this afternoon. You're going to eat something. Then you're going to lay on the couch. You're going to watch some TV, watch some guys run around with a leather ball and punching each other in the head. And you're going to cheer. You're going to jump. You're going to dance. Or you're going to sleep. But watch, it's not going to do you one blessed good. Because it's only the presence of the Lord that changes us. And you know, we got to come to a conclusion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's first. He's got to be first. He's got to be first. Amen. I love you. We're not going to do meet and greet this week. We got a lot going on. If you'll make your way back to your chairs this morning, we love you so much.
Because this is a season that we need to hold fast. to the teachings and the doctrines of the Lord. We are in up and downs in this natural world, and God promised us stability through every storm and every season that comes when we hold fast to His doctrines and His teachings and His principles. And, you know, Pastor and I, we've just really been so burdened with the end times and Jesus coming back. Listen, Jesus is returning. Tuesday nights, we are in the portion of Rock Solid Faith where we're talking about the end times and the resurrections and what's going to be happening on this earth. So if you are not coming out currently to Rock Solid Faith, I encourage you the next few weeks, make sure you come to Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Rock Solid Faith. This teaching is so important. As he was teaching this past Tuesday, the Great Tribulation period, he was starting to teach some of the things that are going to be happening in the Great Tribulation. And we're literally seeing things already lined up for the Great Tribulation happening on this earth. Now, that's the Great Tribulation that the church is not going to be in. We're going to be raptured up and out of here. So if we're already seeing stuff for the Great Tribulation, Jesus is coming, church. Jesus literally could come before this service is over. Jesus is coming back again, and we've got to be in a place where we're holding fast to every teaching and every doctrine. There are things that the enemy's coming in and trying to shake us and make us move and wave from these doctrines. We have got to be alert and paying attention. Matthew teaches us about the wise virgins. Jesus gives this parable about how half of them were prepared, ready, expecting, and waiting. They were being obedient and diligent, holding fast. But the other half weren't paying attention. They were in lethargy. They weren't caring. And that's where the church had been. We are no longer in a place where we can be in that position because the bridegroom, Jesus, is coming back. And those that weren't watching, those that weren't being faithful, those that weren't expecting would not go when he came. They could not go with him. They were out. But the ones that were prepared and expecting went with him. Man, Jesus is coming. If this is going to be interwoven in everything that I teach, I don't care if I'm teaching healing, salvation, tithing. You're going to hear me telling Jesus is coming back because it is that close and it is that imperative, church, that we are holding fast to every doctrine and teaching and being obedient to it because Jesus is coming back for a ready church. A ready bride, an obedient bride, a faithful bride. So in this house, even when it comes to our tithes and offerings, we've got to be diligent and faithful and obedient and prepared. So in this house, it is with great joy that we give our tithes and offerings. So if you'll stand to your feet, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible that we declare over our finances. We are going to do communion next week in this service. So we were going to do it today, but we had some great communion with the Lord this morning. So we will be having that next Sunday for this service. Okay? So we are going to make our supernatural declaration over our finances as we obey what the Word of God says. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, don't miss out. Make sure you're giving right along with us. You can go to the website or even text to give.
Yeah.
available for you every single week for you to participate with. But, you know, at His Tabernacle, we often have something, you know, up our sleeve. And we have a really cool opportunity for you to sow into the lives of our senior pastors. Whether you've been here for a long time or you've been here for a short time, you have watched their consistency, how they've honored the Word of God. And in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says that we should give the elders of the church double honor. And in James chapter 3, it says that not everyone should want to be a teacher, because when you are a teacher of the Word of God, you are held more accountable to the Word of God. So we have an opportunity for you to honor our senior pastors this coming Friday at 8 p.m. If you, all of you have an invitation on your seat. If you don't, just go out into the foyer. We'll make sure that you have one at the hub. But it has a QR code on it. You just open your camera app, hold it over it. It'll give you the link. It's only $10 per person. We're going to have light refreshments. It's semi-formal. And bring a financial gift for our pastors to bless them for blessing us. Also, if you aren't able to come this Friday, you'll have another opportunity to give next Sunday morning to honor our senior pastors. Bring a gift. When you sow into their lives, that is good ground. And you can always expect God to bring a great harvest because you chose to sow into good ground. Amen. Amen. So we would like to invite out, Pastor Cody Spencer. Sure. He is going to bring an awesome, powerful word that I am doing cartwheels over kind of this morning.
You can't do that in a dress.
I can't do
that
cartwheels
really
in a dress, but it is so good. You're going to love it.
I think a lot of people would leave.
I would have to leave.
Yeah, that'd
after
be bad.
That. I'd
that'd
be
really, really bad. Thank you for not. I don't know what this thing is. Sorry. It's just in the way. I don't like it. Good morning. How is everybody? All right. Sleepy. That's good. Good morning. How's everybody doing? We're getting there. We're getting there. It's noon. We got to be awake. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Look, I've heard Jake louder at 5 a.m. at CrossFit. I'm excited for today. I'm excited. We're starting a brand new series. Brand new series is called Fortified, Preparing for the Battles of Life, because here's what we know. It's not if you'll be tested. It's not if the devil will attack you. It's when he'll attack you. And the goal is to not go down, to not run away, but to stand strong and see victory every single time. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's just be truthful. Many times, who's had a personal problem ever come up? He said it was you. I guess my birth, the firstborn, was a problem that came up. But man, when we had a problem, we were all faced with an option. Do I stand in faith or do I run in fear? And I think we've all probably been in places where at times we ran and at times we stood in faith. And what we've seen on a macro level over the last 18 months is much of the church doesn't stand in faith, but they run in fear. And when we're done with this month, I believe that we will be able to stand against any attack of the devil. Any issue that arises won't cause you to run, but will cause you to dig your feet in, stand strong, and see victory in your life. Amen? So that means you got to lock in for the month. Bring a notebook, get prepared, because God's going to move in your life. Amen. God's going to prepare you for victory from this month forward. Amen? Amen. A couple years ago when Elmira High School and Southside, EFA and Southside combined, who remembers that? There was a crazy moment at that school, made the news. There was a brawl with like 20 teenagers. It was bad. It was really bad. And once this brawl happened, a couple community leaders got called in. Somebody randomly threw my name out. And from that day forward, every Wednesday, I was able to go to the high school, walk around the lunchroom, like, look, just help keep the peace in here. So on Wednesdays, I went around and I was able to talk, hang out, invest into some of these students. And after about a year and a half, one of the teachers who was there, or one of the administrators that was there, used to be my football coach. He came from Horseheads to Elmira. And I was looking at him at the end of the school year and we were talking. And I said, look, it's great that I can be in the lunchroom, but I'm not really accomplishing a ton. Let me ask you this. What's one of the biggest issues you see with the students and how could I help? And he thought about it for a second. He said, to be honest, Cody, one of the things that they struggle with the most is good coping skills. The minute something bad happens that day, the minute they get a bad test grade, the minute somebody says something a little bit wrong to them, they go absolutely berserk because nobody has taught them how to cope with a tough situation. And if you think about it, I think that many of us in the church don't have good coping skills in the kingdom. And we can look at it. Man, what happened the last time something didn't go your way? What happened the last time somebody cut you off on the highway? What happened the last time you went to the doctors and it wasn't a great report? What happens when something bad happens in your life? Do you go to anger and fear, or do you stick your feet into faith and start to move forward?
Amen.
And I don't even think that we should really have coping skills. I think as believers, we should have conquering skills. Yeah. We're not here to get beat up, beat down, bullied around. We're here to stand and stand there for and see victory on the other side of every single thing that tries to come against us. Now, as a team, we were thinking about how could we visualize this to the body? How could we visualize this on a Sunday morning? And our first idea was a Jenga set. And this looks nothing like Jenga. Instead of Jenga, well, I like Jenga. You know, it's fun, and you could talk about it because things get pulled, and then it topples or it stands. And we had a good idea with it, but we came to the conclusion of it can't be a Jenga set because they just take a beating. But they never see the victory. And a lot of Christians just see themselves as, well, I'm just here to withstand and endure, and then eventually I'll get to heaven. That is not the truth. You are not here just to endure. You are not here just to get beat up so eventually you can get to glory. Man, you got saved so heaven could get into you, so that you could get to heaven eventually. We're not waiting for the time to expire so we can have glory. I believe that glory is living on the inside of us, even today as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. We are not punching bags. More likely, we are like a tank. Yeah, we can take the hits. Yeah, we can withstand some blows, but we're going to see some things on the side of victory. We are not defensive. We are also offensive in the things that are trying to take our lives, things that are trying to destroy us, and we're not going to get beat down for the rest of our life. We're going to live in victory. Man, God has a victorious church. This is a victorious body. You are a victorious person.
That's right.
Hey, let's be honest, man. Things are going to happen the longer that we're alive. You know, you're going to run into bosses and people that don't like you. There might be people that you lose in your life. There might be bad health things that come down the pike. Even look at, let me ask you this. What would happen if there was another lockdown right now? We saw most Christians drastically struggle with their walk with Jesus. But I believe that whatever happens, whatever comes in life, we have victory.
Yeah.
And we're going to be fortified from the inside out.
Amen.
To see victory every single time.
Amen.
How we're built determines what we get on the other side. And this is what we need to know. The attacks are coming. If we open up 1 Samuel chapter 17, many of you probably know, many of you probably heard in kids' church or Sunday school, the story of David and Goliath. And this is not just a Sunday school story. This is a reality of how the devil operates and the answer that God has every single time there's a giant in your life. What happens in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is we're introduced to a Philistine army who were the enemy of Israel, the enemy of God's children. And on the other side, we're introduced to God's children, God's army. And the Philistine army came up against God's army. And they met on two mountaintops, and in the middle was the valley. And it was common in this time that one army, or that armies would have a champion or a warrior that they would send out, so that entire armies might not fight against each other, but it would be a one-on-one battle where they would make a decision that whoever wins this battle, the other side will surrender and become our slaves and our servants, and we will be the victors. And what we're introduced to in this moment is a Philistine army and God's army, and we're introduced to the Philistine champion, Goliath, who is a gigantic man. He was trained in wars, what we find out. I mean, it'd be like fighting Brock Lesnar. You know, that's a terrifying thought. I don't know if you know who that is. He played in the NFL. He was in the UFC. He's like 6'7", 300 pounds, squared off chest with a giant dagger tattoo down the middle. Like, he's a terrifying human being. You know, add 3 feet to him in years of war, and congratulations, whoever thinks they got it. Oh, and by the way, if you lose, everybody's a slave. You know, a little bit of weight on this situation. And Goliath is standing out there. He parades out with his chain mail and his spear and his helmet and his shield. And he's standing there and he's talking junk. He's talking down on God's people. And you sit there like, man, I read my Bible. I know what God has done. You're like, I wonder who comes out. If you've never read the story, you're like, man, I wonder what God's going to do. Because you read before this, and you read about Red Seas opening up. You read about the earth swallowing God's enemies. You read about plagues. You read about all these crazy things. But what you find in this moment and in this story is this didn't happen. You know what God's army did? God's army, in the face of an enemy, decided to run and hide. Yeah. But what we need to know is there is an attack coming. The devil has an agenda. I think we need to be aware of this. The devil has an agenda, and it's very easy. The devil's agenda, John 10:10, is that the thief would come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Man, it's not time to get in bed with someone that's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. It's a bad business plan, bad life plan. I want nothing to do with them. And Luke, Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said this. He said, look, the devil has come and asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. The devil's entire goal is to try to destroy you. He's going to try to steal, kill, destroy. He's going to try to sift you as wheat. What this word picture is when they were sifting wheat, even when we do now when we cook, is you might run it through something that has little spokes in it. So what you want to get through gets through, and what you want out stays out. The devil's going to try to figure out what's in you to destroy you. But have faith. God has prayed for you. You keep thinking about what the devil wants to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says that the devil, your enemy. The devil, your enemy, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. What we find about this devil is that his entire goal is to steal, kill, destroy. And his tactics are simple, and they've always been the same. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to look big, bad, scary, and intimidating. He's going to manipulate you. If he tried to do it with Jesus, he's certainly going to try to do it with you. In Matthew chapter 4, he tried to manipulate Jesus Christ. The Word, the Bible that was made flesh, he tried to manipulate against himself. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. You know, there's a recent study that just came out and said, if you only read your Bible twice a week, you see no life change. Three times a week, still no life change. But when believers engage with the Word of God at least four times a week, they can measure a significant life change on being in your Word of God four times a week. But he's going to try to manipulate you. That's why you need to know the word. That's how he manipulated Eve. Question the word. If he's always run this tactic, why would he not try it with you? And then he's going to try to intimidate you. But I think we got to figure out who this guy is, because he's ultimately not that scary. He's ultimately not that intimidating. You know, I think about the devil. I think about like a schoolyard bully who's big and bad, but when he got cracked in the jaw, he ran away like a giant baby. Anybody remember that schoolyard bully? Don't say their name out loud. But you remember when somebody finally stood up against them, when someone finally looked them in the eye and said, this is where it ends, and stood their ground? No one was scared of that bully ever again. Like the Wicked Witch of the West. They finally got to pull back the curtains and see it was just some creepy old guy. Wasn't anything really to be scared of. Pastor Rhonda just posted this verse during first service. This is a phenomenal verse. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14. It says, he's like the wicked... that's not what the Bible says. He's not like the Wicked Witch of the West. It says, this is talking about Jesus. He said, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most... Or he's talking about what the devil said about himself. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying... Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house to his prisoners? Come on now. At the end of the age, when we get to heaven, at the moment that we recognize who the devil is, this is the very thought that believers should have. Is this the one? Is that the guy that was talking junk? That's the one that thought he was big and bad? That's who it is? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, come on, seriously.
The size of a yard gnome. Like, are you kidding me? Devil runs around. You know, he really like a chihuahua. You know, he's barking like he's a pit bull, but he's about 12 pounds. It just takes a swift kick. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about that mouth anymore. Jesus. Sorry if you have a chihuahua. I guess I'm really not that sorry. One swift kick and that dog is gone. When you recognize it's not all that scary, like, could a chihuahua actually even bite your face? Like, their jaw is so small.
But they have bit my feet.
Yeah, they can get your feet and just... Like Justin Tucker's 66-yard field goal for the win. All right, we're going to move on from that. I'm going to make somebody mad. Is this the guy? You know, is it him? That's really the one? And you know, he's got all the right to try to attack you. He's going to try to destroy you because he hates you. You are made in the image of God, and he hates the image of God. He is at war with you. You look all through Scripture, there have been attacks. You know, God's people in slavery, God's people getting attacked. Famine. You go through the New Testament. 11 out of the 12 apostles were martyred. Paul and Silas jailed. They're in court. Don't you dare talk about the name of Jesus again. They got tempted. They got attacked. And the devil is always going to try to look big. He's always going to try to look scary. He has to exaggerate who he is, because when we find out who he is, the response is, that's who it is. Are you serious? It's that guy? That guy? That punk? That one? That's not going to be our story anymore. That's not your story anymore. I don't care how much he roars. I don't care how many times he tries to tempt you. I don't care what's going on. The reality is, when we know who our enemy is, he's not scary ever again. And this is the problem, is many times when we fail to be fortified as believers, when the devil attacks us, when something comes against us, when there's an issue that arises in our life, we flee just like God's army. And when we flee, here's what happens. We go back to the old people. Man, you go back to that high school fling, even though you've been married the last 10 years. Go back to that same group who all they care about is drinking and smoking. And we can love them, but I'm not going back to do what they do. We go back to the same places. You had a bad day at work, go back to that same website. Got quiet. You know, go back to that same place of drama. Go back to the same places, the same people, and the same thoughts. And think we're going to get freedom. And maybe you're sitting in that place right now. It's time to break out of it. And a lot of people, what they do is they get into this shame of, oh, well, I've been going through the same cycle, and there's no win, there's no out, there's nothing for me. No, this is where it stops. And this is where it ends. That I'm getting fortified that the next time there's a battle, I'm not going back to the places, people, and the things, but I'm moving forward in the things of God. I'm being built up by the Word of God so that I can see victory the next time He comes knocking on my door. I'm not going to look like everybody else. I'm not going to have what everybody else has, and I'm not going backwards, not ever. And the question is simple, like, how do you hold up? You know, when the giant's yelling, when the winds are crashing up against your boat, when things are going crazy in your life, how do you hold up? I think as humans, you know, we're either way too harsh on ourselves or we're delusional about ourselves. You know, we're really not good at actually being honest about where we are. And you're one of these two people in this room. Either you beat yourself down and you feel like God couldn't love you, God couldn't bring victory to you, and you might as well just give up on the whole thing. Anybody ever felt like that before? Might as well just give up on the whole thing. It's worthless. We've all probably felt like that. And then there's another person in the room who you literally think that you are the perfect Christian and nothing you've ever done had anything to do with your life at all. We call that cognitive dissonance, where you believe something about yourself, but the life is just not there yet. And I think it's good to be honest about where we truly are. And I don't want you to feel like you're getting indicted because you're bad. Well, this is not a beat down. I think for a moment, though, we need to be honest about where we are. So we gave you a sheet when you walked in, prayerfully. If not, they'll put it on the screen behind me. And I just want you to be honest with yourself for just a minute. And not how you feel, but be honest about what you did the last time you had a battle. And this is where we find realities. Not based upon what we feel we do, but what we actually do. This is crazy. I was listening to a story. I got bored driving back. I was in Boston for the weekend. I preached. And I got bored driving back, and I wanted to hear some stories. There's this guy named Steve Ranella. He's got a show called Meat Eater on Netflix, and it's hunting. He does a great job with it, but they had a bear attack. Him and six of his, like, professional hunting buddies got attacked by a bear. A grizzly bear, like, mature 10-foot grizzly bear. And he said, it was crazy. He's like, I was actually really disappointed in myself because we've talked about what happens if we get attacked by a grizzly. And we've trained what we would do if we got attacked by a bear or anything like this in the woods. He said, but I'll tell you what. I just rolled into a ball, got up, and ran. He's like, I'm ashamed of myself because everything that I talked about doing and everything that I said I would do, I didn't do in the moment. He said, my friend, Giannis, he's like, the dude had a pistol right there for a bear. He had bear spray for a bear. You know what he did? He took a hiking pole and hit the bear in the face. Like a 1,000-pound bear. Like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, we all just kind of stood there like, we talked about it, we trained it, but it didn't happen in the moment. And you know what? We're going to talk about it. We're going to train for it. And we're going to overcome in the moment. Yes, but we got to be honest about where we are. Yes. So question one, if you have this, and here's what I want you to do. If you got a pen, actually write these down. actually circle where you're at, because at the end of the month, we're going to look at this again, and I believe that your life's going to look completely different.
Amen.
Because we're getting prepared for the battles of life. Number one, when the battle comes, what are your thoughts like? Do you go right to fear, or does it go right to faith? 1 to 10, where do you land? Just be honest. You're not here to be, oh, you're not a good Christian. No, that's stupid. We're here to grow. The job that we have as a church, as a pastoral team, is to equip you, to bring you to maturity, and to bring you to unity. So if you're sitting here saying, you know what, I do need to increase in my faith, awesome, sit here. Let's figure it out. Let's plan together. Let's increase our faith. This is not a bad thing. Where do you land in your thoughts, fear or faith? What about your words? Because we know our thoughts will birth what comes out of our mouth. When a bad thing happens, do you immediately start speaking death or do you start speaking life?
Come on now.
So ultimately, our tongue carries the power of life and death. Are we speaking death to our situation? Are we speaking death to what God's trying to do? Or are we speaking life? Our thoughts birth our words, and our words do build our realities. What do our actions look like? You know, what happens in our actions when something bad happens? Do they immediately retract and go back to what we used to do, to our old comforts, to our old people, to our old ways of security? Or do they step into faith?
Come on now.
What are your actions? I think another good question, what about your habits? Are your habits preparing you for a battle? I think this is a great question. Because if we try to get ready in the middle of war, we're in trouble. You know, we don't build a military in the middle of war. We build a military at all times in preparation for war.
Right.
You know how crazy it would be for war to break out? And then what we decide we're going to do is we're going to draft an entire military, train an entire military, send them to specialized school for whatever they're going to do in the military. And we look at it and we're like, hey, I know that you just had your first attack on us, but time out. We're going to get ready. It's not how it works. How we prepare daily determines what happens when an attack comes to our doorstep. Man, what's your prayer life like? No, really, what's your prayer life like? Maybe say, well, it's not that great. Get on the prayer line, 6:15 to 6:29 in the morning. Easy. But what's your prayer life like? You probably got an hour lunch. What would it look like if 15 minutes of that was prayer in your car? I talked to one pastor. He was like, I'm going to quit. I'm done. It's like, dang, man, what's going on with your spiritual life? This has got to be a spiritual thing. He was like, I can't pray. I work an hour away from home. I work all day. We just had a baby. Everything's rough. It's all hard. That's awful, man. You said you can't really pray right now? No, the baby's always crying at home. It's like, what about your car? Did you pray for an hour in your car? He's like, no, I've been listening to ESPN radio. I need an escape. There it is. My man had 2 hours in the car. He could have listened to the word for an hour, prayed for an hour. Life would have been completely different. But our habits show if we're prepared for the next battle in life or not. What's your prayer life look like? What's your Bible reading look like? Let's just be real for a minute. What's your Bible reading look like? Remember, 4 times a week, your life is actually visibly different.
Right.
You know, we talk about Bible reading. You know why it's so important? How could you know that you have a promise if you've never read about it? How could you know the one you're in relationship with if you never learn about the one you're in relationship with? How could you ever have faith if you don't ever go to where faith comes from? That's the Word of God. Reading your Bible is not a task. It's an opportunity to grow in our knowledge of God. It's an opportunity to grow in our relationship with God, to know what He's promised us, to know what the covenant is. We need to read our Bible. When's the last time you fasted on your own? When's the last time you worshiped on your own? See, if our only spiritual emphasis is here on a Sunday morning, then it's no wonder why on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, our life looks like hell, and then we try to get heaven in us and filled up for the rest of the week. No, we need heaven in us every single day. We need the word on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We need prayer every day. We should be fasting regularly. Why? Because our habits determine what we get out of our life.
Amen.
And I'm not here, pastor's not here to live your relationship with Jesus for you. We're here to equip you to do it, to help you mature in it, and to bring you to unity as a body of Christ. But I'm not here to read your Bible for you. You know, I can't do that. Imagine how weird that would be. If we got on like a Zoom call every morning and I read the scriptures to you. No, like they taught you how to read in first grade. And I believe that you can do it. You just got to make an honest effort to grow in your walk with Jesus. Like you have control over this thing. You know how amazing this is? Like, men, we have control over our marriage in the direction that it goes. Everybody, we have control over our relationship with God and where it goes. We got to make sure that we're not just going through randomness. So the question, I guess, that we got off on a bunny trail for is, what do your habits look like? Are you prepared for what comes next? 1 to 10. And the last one, number 5, is your relationship with Jesus built on religion or genuine relationship with God? Genuine. Real relationship with God. You know, I'm not here to indict someone and say you're not strong enough. I'm here to help you if you're struggling. What are we here for this month? To help you if you're struggling. You know what we're here for? To prepare those who fell last time. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm hopeless. I'm going to, every time, every issue, every, no, not after this. We're all done. We're all done. We're going to stand strong and see victory. I'm not saying you won't have an attack. I'm saying you're going to stand strong in this next one. You're going to have victory in this next one. You're going to overcome in this next one. Maybe you say, well, I'm strong. Awesome. You know what? You're going to be strengthened after this to go even stronger and have a greater victory this next time. A lot of people, they run and they hide. And this is what God's armies did. How crazy this is, 1 Samuel chapter 17. The enemy is standing there screaming and yelling and they're hiding. They threw off their faith. They forgot who they served. We're all done throwing off our faith. Why would we throw off the only thing that brings us victory? Doesn't 1 John 5:4 say, and this is how we overcome our faith? Why would we hide in fear? When our victory is faith. I mean, it's time to realize that we're not just Saul's army, but we're God's children. That's what Goliath was saying. He said, who from Saul's army is going to come? That wasn't Saul's army. That was God's army. The issue, though, is they identified themselves as Saul's army. So, well, Saul's army can't defeat Goliath. And you know what? It's true. You can't defeat sin. You can't defeat that attack by yourself. But with God, you can do anything. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. You know, it's time to realize that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're not an illegitimate son. You're not an illegitimate daughter. Amen. Just because you gave your life to Jesus a couple months ago doesn't mean that you're not legitimate enough. Just because you've been struggling in and out doesn't mean that you're illegitimate. It means that it's time to step into the fullness of who God already says you are. In his eyes, when you raise your hand and you made that commitment in your heart, you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God in that moment. Amen. You know, I think about my kids. If someone's bullying my kid, you're going to get introduced real quick to a real bully. Her name is Mindy. Should I bully bullies? You know, we would all stand up for our kids. Anybody comes against our kids, you're going to get Mama Bear, and then if she can't handle it, you know Dad's coming. And she can probably handle it. She's got to hide the guns and stuff. But here's the truth. If you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, You think he's sitting in heaven unaffected and not caring about what's happening in your life? You know, there's a definition for that. It's called deism. I think a lot of Christians accidentally live deistically, where we think that this whole life and this whole thing is on our shoulders and how we can accomplish it. And we forget we got a Father in heaven who has promises for us, who's a jealous God, who's a God who will stand up and stand for his kids. Amen. And that's the last one we call out to somehow. Nope, you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Yes. And not only you're a son or a daughter, but according to Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I love this. You're more than a conqueror. And here's the difference. Saul's army didn't realize who they were. David did. We'll get into more of this next week. But David, the difference between Saul's army and David, David had intimacy with the Lord. David knew the Lord personally. David had a past history with the Lord. So when he saw another giant, he wasn't scared. Saul's army, we don't ever find out about what they did. We just know what they were scared of. The church is scared of a lot, but when we have an intimacy with the Lord, an identity with the Lord, I don't care what stands up, I don't care what yells, I don't care what screams, we step up the same way David did. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's talking junk. What are you dirty? What are you doing? Same as Isaiah 14, who's this guy? You know, he had that same attitude, who is this? Oh, he's a giant? Whatever. I kill lions, I kill bears. I don't care about this guy. Goes, gets 5 stones. Launches one. Like launches a pebble at this dude's head. You know, he's like, what am I, a bird? I know the bird's about to eat you, man. Launches a stone, knocks him down, cuts his head off, and holds it as a testimony to who God is. And as the enemy armies are running in the other direction, David has the head of the giant that was trying to taunt them. After 40 days, they had victory because one person realized who they were. One person was fortified. One person was prepared for this battle. I believe at the end of this month, you're going to be holding testimonies in your hand because you're prepared for this battle. You are prepared for the battles of life. It's time to cast up our fears and our doubts. It's time to realize we're not Saul's army, but we're serving the living God. It's time to realize that the devil was made a public open show of. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, I told first service when I was in high school, these two kids were about to fight, so we went. It was free pay-per-view. We drove up to some like dark parking lot, actually right behind the school over here. And it was crazy because this kid was talking, just talking, like, ah, rah, 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 rah. And they square up, right? And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. They square up, they throw a couple, they both miss, and then boom, the kid talking gets cracked. Like clean. Like UFC knockout clean. It was a very clean hit. And this kid who was talking all this junk in the middle of a fight gets cracked, puts his hand over his face like this, and sprints the other direction around the building so no one saw him crying. Like, bro, nobody was ever scared when this kid started talking junk again. Like, bro, didn't you cry last time you got punched in your face? Didn't you run away after you got hit one time? What are you talking about? Nobody is scared of you anymore. And what happened to that kid happened a million times over to the devil. A public show was made of the devil. And for some reason, we're scared. I'm not scared. Who are you? Why are you talking? You can't hurt me. I'm in Christ. What can injure what's in Christ? I could be a whole other message, but we're not going to do that right now. I think it's time to stand in the fact that Jesus holds over authority over everything that could destroy you. Think about it like this. Revelation chapter 1:18, he says, hey, Guys, I am he who lives, and I was dead. And behold, I'm alive now. And this is what I want you to know. I have the keys of sin and death. You know, when Jesus died, people are like, where'd he go? You can argue about that all you want, but here's what I do know. He has the keys of sin and death. I know what he has. He has authority over what used to have authority over you. You know, what used to be in the devil's authority is now in Jesus' authority. Now I don't have to worry about it. There's a punk devil that got beat up publicly, and Jesus now holds the keys of what he used to have. Why would I run? Why would I be scared? Why would I go the other direction? And why wouldn't I stand in faith like David did? You know, we'll talk more about this victory next week. But here's what I need you to know this week. There's a punk devil who's trying to lie, manipulate, and intimidate you. And we're not going down ever again. I don't care what comes your way. And it will be a real situation. You know, sometimes I think we talk about these things like, oh, yeah, that's just... And we like fantasize these weird little things that aren't real. Man, what happens when it's your job? What happens when it's your health? What happens when it's your budget? What happens when it's everything you thought it wasn't going to be? What happens when you didn't expect it? What do? How do you stand and how do you see victory? Because the devil's going to throw everything he can at you. But you're going to stand strong and you're going to win. Amen. You're going to stand strong and you're going to win. Amen. You're going to stand strong and you are going to win. We're going to hold testimonies in our hand at the end of the month. We're going to be prepared to withstand anything by the end of the month. I have one verse and then I'm going to wrap up. Ephesians 6:10. We'll finish some of this out next week. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This was the command. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't know where you stand on this week, but by the end of October, you're going to stand and stand there for. You're going to stand and you're going to stand strong. You're going to stand and you're going to stand in victory. Amen. Can you guys bow your heads as we wrap up service? I have a couple simple questions. Number one, do you know Jesus? This is the most important thing is, do you know Jesus? So you know, there's one way to have victory, and it's relationship with Jesus. There's one way to overcome, and it starts in relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have relationship with God, then you're not promised anything from God. And if that's you and you're saying, you know, I don't have relationship with God, maybe you used to. Maybe you never have, but you feel that tugging, that shifting. There's something on your heart that's gripping you saying, I need to get right with this God. See, sin does equal death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I want to qualify this because it's not just eternal life where eventually we'll get to heaven, but it's also heaven getting into you. Jesus said it like this, and this is eternal life, that you may know the Father. And this is so powerful. That Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he wants to bring real, fresh life to you. If you don't serve Jesus, now's your opportunity. I'm just going to ask you to wave your hand at me saying, I want to get right with God, maybe for the first time. Or maybe you need to get right with him because you've walked away. If that's you in this room, you say, I'm ready to get right with God. Will you wave your hand at me? Say, I feel that tugging on my heart. I'm ready to get right with Jesus. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. 3, 2, and 1. Awesome. Everybody else, we can all stand to our feet in this room. Everybody else, if you're dealing with something right now, we don't have to wait till the end of the month. I don't want you to be like, well, I got to come back every single week and then maybe I'll get lucky. No, it's not about getting lucky. It's about standing in faith, and we want to stand in faith with you today. We can have victory today and be prepared for the next battle the rest of the month as well. If that's you in this room and you're saying, I'm dealing with something, and I'm ready for it to be done. Will you wave your hand at me real quick? Say, I'm ready for it to be done. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I'm done praying, this altar is going to be open. Our prayer team, they're going to agree with you. We're going to pray for a miracle. We're going to pray for breakthrough. We're going to pray for freedom in this room. Because it stops here. It stops today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the battles of life aren't battles that you don't already have victory for. But that, Lord, we would be fortified for anything that stands against your word or against us as your sons and daughters. So, Lord, I pray even right now that marriages would be reconciled. Father, that temptations would be overcome, that addictions would be destroyed, that health problems, we would find freedom and restoration. Yes. That, Lord, we would be a body that's not only prepared for the battle, but that walks in victory. So, Jesus, thank you that today we can walk in what you died for, and that's victory over the enemy. And that we can be fortified for the rest of our life. In the name of Jesus, if you have victory, if you have faith, can I hear a mighty amen in this room?
Amen.
Amen. Hey guys, if you need prayer for anything, if you're ready for that battle to be done, right here at the front. Also, Tuesday night, Rock Solid Faith. Thursday night, the best youth group in all of upstate New York meets here at 6:30. And then on Friday night, we'd love to see you for the Pastor Appreciation Banquet. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.